I'm disappointed by the government these days. Sometimes they just need a good kick in the backside.
The Wire.
So the three countries named in the NZSIS report as threats to national security through foreign interference are the People's Republic of China, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and Russia. Are all three of these generally expected to arise as potential threats?
I think we have heard significant noise coming out of the New Zealand government about the threat of Russia after the illegal invasion of Ukraine, but for a long ongoing period of time before that, and China. But I think the Islamic Republic of Iran, whilst having been a challenging nation for the West for a long period of time, is probably new to New Zealanders as a domestic foreign interference problem here.
And so why do you think Iran was included in the report?
I guess for two reasons. One, we actually have a growing Persian diaspora in New Zealand. And two, it seems that that diaspora is increasingly being affected by the government in terms of controlling what they can say and do say about their regime. And particularly that's been evident in the last year around what's been happening in terms of the schoolgirls and things like that in Iran and the protests here about that.
But in terms of introducing the idea of Iran being a domestic threat in New Zealand, is a report like this the best way to introduce that idea?
I guess it's very specific in that it says that the Persian community, the Iranian expatriate community in New Zealand, is subject to foreign interference. So it's not saying that necessarily that anyone else is particularly at risk or a threat from the Islamic Republic.
How seriously does a country have to threaten national security in order for it to be publicly named as such?
That's a really good question, isn't it? It's not clear in the report. The prevalence of issues is not clear. So we can't tell from the NZSIS report whether this is one or two issues or whether or not it's foreign interference and espionage is rife. I think what we can be clear about is that it takes the state, and in this case the NZSIS, carefully weighs up before it names actors. And so we have to assume on the balance of probability that they think the benefit of naming Iran in this case is greater than the cost of not naming it. So then that gives us an idea about the seriousness of the issue, even if we don't understand exactly how widespread it is.
What will greater awareness of the threats outlined in the report mean for the New Zealand public?
So what, I guess there's two answers to that. The report claims that that will target harden these communities, that they'll be harder to penetrate because it's been named. But I think there are risks as well. We are a bicultural nation with a multicultural population, and we need to find ways for our various communities to cohere together. And the risk is that by naming certain communities as potentially at risk of foreign interference, that we isolate them or we create challenges within those communities. However, they're probably already there, those issues, and those communities are aware of them. So that's the sort of dynamic that you're engaging with the naming of the community.
Do you think we'll see a rise in xenophobia because of this report?
I think there's a risk. There is a risk in the rise in xenophobia. But I think that that's a carefully calculated risk on the part of the government, and that in terms of the government, they see the benefit of naming as outweighing that particular risk.
Do you agree with that, the outweighing the risk in terms of benefits?
I think that we're going to have to wait and see. I think one of the things that's happened with this report is it hasn't actually really been widespread in terms of its impact. It hasn't been picked up particularly heavily. So the extent to which it informs the xenophobic communities or potential xenophobic communities of New Zealand is really hard to tell at this stage.
Could you explain the four factors outlined as shaping threats to our environment?
Okay, so the report says that that there are four drivers of increasing threat in New Zealand. They are increased strategic competition, declining social trust, technological innovation, and global economic instability. So I'll just go through those in a little bit of detail for each one. So increased strategic competition is really saying that the international rules-based order in which the globe has been sort of founded on since World War II is under threat and deteriorating. And we see that explicitly with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but we also see it potentially with Taiwan and a number of other areas. So that's the first place that the rules that we used to play by are under threat. The second factor is declining social trust, and that's trust in government. And we saw that at the Wellington protest last year, that there was a real challenge within Western democracies to the authority of government, that government isn't necessarily always viewed as acting in the best interests of the people or certain communities. And that's a clear driver for tension within nations. The third driver is technological innovation, and I think that can mean a number of different things. But if we think about that in terms of social media allows for the communication of ideas and in a way that simply people haven't been able to keep up with the consequences of that. And then increased global economic instability. It's very much well known that in times of recession and strategic competition is bringing with it a kind of changing of supply lines, a changing of goods and a restriction on goods, that in recessions, tensions rise as access to goods becomes more expensive and potentially contested. So those are the four drivers.
Do you think that this report and the transparency around the threats to national security are an attempt to push back against that declining social trust and show more honesty and transparency from the government?
That's the argument. I think for the NZSIS, it has a lot of work to do in terms of making sure that the public trusts that it's working within its best interest, and particularly if you're in those named communities. So the report specifically states that it is trying to be more transparent about where the NZSIS see the problems lying, and in doing so, create more support for what it does. And also, I guess, in terms of those communities named, that if they are engaging with the NZSIS, they understand why, and that it's not a secret. It's clearly stated why they are doing what they are doing in those spaces.
So we spoke a little bit more about the risk of xenophobia and that potential rise from the report. Do you see any other potential risks from having greater awareness around security threats?
So I guess the real big question is, we know that we've returned to a time where there are active state actors doing certain things in global affairs, so we're sort of returned to the Cold War. But I think the really big questions that need to arise out of it is, well, what's to be done about it? What do we do about foreign interference? Why is it happening here? What are the effects of that on New Zealand? And as a result, I think that the real thing that needs to come out of these reports, this one in particular, is who do we want to be, and how are we going to act both domestically for our own people to make sure that we are safe, and how are we going to engage internationally in an environment characterized by deteriorating relationships globally.
Do you think a report like this will prompt voters to think more locally rather than in terms of international relations in the upcoming election?
You'd like to think so, but I am not convinced that the reports, whilst it is a report for New Zealanders, I think it will get picked up primarily by certain elites and certain community groups who it specifically talks to. So the effect that the whether or not we're having a national security conversation, I'm not sure that we're there yet. And then that as part of that conversation, if we were to have that larger national conversation, then I think we would probably see xenophobia as part of that conversation. So the benefit of keeping it in small, tight groups at the moment is that maybe it reduces the the risk of xenophobia.
So what more needs to be done to allow conversations around national security to happen in a way that isn't discriminatory?
Yeah, it's a good, it's a really good question, isn't it? I mean, I think that is that's something that the state still needs to work on. National security conversations often come from a place of cultural privilege, and so engaging with those affected by the conversations is a good place to start. I think one of the other places that we can have that conversation is get the Minister of National Security and Intelligence talking in this space. But the challenge for that is that the Minister for National Security and Intelligence is also the Prime Minister, and they're busy. So specifically around election time when this is coming out. So you're always going to have a limitation in that space that the Minister has a broad variety of responsibilities for New Zealand, and this is only one of them.
Finally, how strongly do you think the report should be trusted and taken seriously by the public?
I think that is going to be up for individuals to decide. Certain community groups and individuals are more likely to trust the NZSIS than others. I don't think that the NZSIS makes a claim or releases a document like this lightly, and they don't do it without the support of broader government and Cabinet. So I think that if you trust in Cabinet and if you trust in the government, then you should probably look at this report pretty carefully. But the beauty of a liberal democracy is you can make up your own mind when you see these types of documents.
That was Dr. William Hovard, Associate Professor at Massey University, speaking to me about the NZSIS Security Threat Environment 2023 report.